Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You may be seated. A short drive from here will take you to an abandoned factory on North Grand Avenue. The place has been closed for several years and is now considered a toxic waste site. Or if it were in a more prominent neighborhood that attracted the attention of the rich and the powerful, it would be a Superfund site, receiving hundreds of thousands of dollars to clean up the mess. But that's not the case for this abandoned factory in a neglected and abandoned part of town. And on this factory hangs a sign warning of the dangers of the chemicals that are in the soil, on the walls, throughout the building. In a place where people used to work, it is now so dangerous that you can't even walk on the parking lot. It is a forsaken place, a bold, embarrassing physical reminder of forsakenness here in St. Louis. In the reading from Isaiah, the prophet speaks to the people of God who knew all about forsakenness. The people of God had forsaken their God. They had cast God aside, preferring instead to go their own way. Their captivity in Babylon was a bold, embarrassing, and physical reminder of their forsakenness. They were a forsaken people, living in a forsaken land, having forsaken their God. This raises the question for us this morning. What bold, physical, maybe even embarrassing reminders are in your life that stand as a place of utter forsakenness? And whether that forsakenness is a result of your own doing or is a result of the sinful and tragic world in which we live, forsakenness has one outcome. It leaves you empty, lost, and alone. You may even feel abandoned by your God. And that forsakenness hurts. And it brings such terrible devastation to our lives. It is a reminder of our own mortality. You might skirt it for some time. You might have a stroke of good fortune, but to be forsaken will grab us all eventually. Because death is the most forsaken place of all. And that is why it hurts so much. And death has no place in your life. Death was not intended for your life. Yet even in the midst of this life, death surrounds us. What will you do in the face of death? How will you respond when death and forsakenness confront you head on? I would like to highlight two examples of dealing with forsakenness, death, around us. The first comes from the poetry of James Weldon Johnson, a well-loved African-American author who wrote a series of poetic sermons in a book called God's Trombones. He suggests that we deal with this forsakenness, this death, through prayer. Hear the prayer that he writes. And now, O Lord, when I've done drunk my last cup of sorrow, when I've been called everything but a child of God, when I'm down traveling up the rough side of the mountain, O Mary's baby, when I start down the steep and slippery steps of death, when this old world begins to rock beneath my feet, lower me to my dusty grave in peace, to wait for that great getting up morning. Amen. How does this prayer deal with forsakenness? First, this prayer takes these human realities and consequences of sin and gives them over to God. Sorrow, disgrace, disappointment, death. Then, in the last two lines, this prayer awaits that great getting up morning. This prayer trusts that even when one is finally laid to rest in the dusty grave, all is not abandoned. For the person who is laid in the dusty grave is even then with God. And there this person waits for the promised resurrection, the culmination of God's kingdom coming into this world, even as it has already been won in Jesus' resurrection. The second approach to the forsakenness in the world and in our own life is addressed by God through the prophet Isaiah in the words that we heard read this morning. To the forsaken people of Israel, God promises to not keep silent. Here are the words of the Lord spoken through Isaiah. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a burning torch. Isaiah goes on to promise to the forsaken people that they will receive a new name. In verse 4, God declares, "You shall no more be termed forsaken. Your land no more should be termed desolate. But you shall be called, my delight is in her. Your land will be renamed married, because your Lord delights in you." And then in verse 12 of the same chapter, the Lord declares to this forsaken people that they will be called by a new name, the holy people, God says, the redeemed of the Lord, the sought out, a city not forsaken. New names given by God. In Johnson's contemporary prayer and in Isaiah's prophetic word, God reveals himself to a forsaken people. And sisters and brothers in Christ, your Lord delights in you. For God has sent his son Jesus to seek you out, to give you a new name, to declare to you his redeemed. How will Jesus do this? How will Jesus confront this forsakenness, this death? Jesus will confront death the way that the maker of heaven and earth confronts death. The holy and righteous one, Jesus will walk right into it. He will be raised right up from it. And there on that cross, Jesus will deal decisively with our forsakenness and our death. Not as one who pretends that forsakenness isn't there, not as one who applies a quick cosmetic solution to the most endemic problem in this world. No. Jesus hangs dying on the cross, crying out words of Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Forsaken by us, forsaken by God. And in this dramatic confrontation, Jesus taking on our forsakenness and death will be death's undoing. And so you're not cast aside. You are not forsaken by your Lord. In your baptism, you have received the name of that same Jesus Christ. As the Lord proclaims through Isaiah 62, verse 2, you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. And because of Jesus, you too are a people sought out. You, as the people of God, are a city not forsaken. You are the redeemed of the Lord, made a holy people in your baptism and in God's church on earth. Your Lord delights in you because of Jesus, who rose that first great getting up morning. Amen.